cultish thing here. Do you know how many times fasting is mentioned in Scripture? 77 times fasting is mentioned in Scripture. It is not this obscure thing. Because honestly, I know full well, I'm talking to people today, maybe who have never even heard of the whole concept. It's a brand new thing to you. This 77 times in Scripture, Old Testament through the New Testament, again, Moses did it. Many people between Moses and Jesus, he did it. After Christ, they still fasted. Okay? This is a principle that will teach us spiritual discipline, and it will make us more dependent on Christ as well. Another type of fast, so you got a total fast, extreme fast, no food, no water. Total fast, water only. Then you have a Daniel fast, natural foods only, no processed foods. And then you have a partial or a limited fast. There are examples in Scripture where people fasted from sunrise to sunset. And so, again, it could be a meal. It could be a couple of meals. And so, as we go into this season, starting on September the 30th, and then moving through November the 8th, it is a scenario, it might change from week to week for you guys. I know I'm going to fast in some way every day for those 40 days. Now you say, wait, you shouldn't do that, Doug. You just drew attention to yourself. No, I didn't. Because again, there are corporate fasts or national fasts that are talked about in Scripture, and it's an encouragement to one another. I think I've mentioned a few weeks ago, if someone says, Doug, I'm going to pray for you, I appreciate that, but the reality is there's a 50-50 shot, he'll walk away and not pray a prayer. But if someone comes up and says, the Lord has led me to fast for you, people don't say that if they don't mean it. And that is really, really encouraging to know that somebody is fasting for you. Well, how do you think God feels if we would be willing to fast for a nation, to fast for our church, to say, I'm going to deny myself food and water in whatever way the Holy Spirit might lead you to do that in order to get the heart of God, to spend more time with Him than maybe we ever did before? Everything in me wants to ask, how many here would be willing to be a part of this 40-day fast? I'm not going to do it. I want you to. I desperately want you to. You will see God show up in your life. My wife and I have experienced so many miracles in our marriage that came immediately on the heels of a fast. But the greatest miracle is we got closer and closer and closer and closer to God through that process. So there are examples of corporate and public fasts in Scripture. In Ezra 8, 21 through 23, it says, Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from Him a safe journey for ourselves, our children, and all our goods. For I was ashamed, listen to this, this is Ezra speaking. He said, For I was ashamed to ask the king for a band of soldiers and horsemen to protect us against the enemy on our way, since we had told the king, The hand of our God is for good on all who seek Him, and the power of His wrath is against all who forsake Him. So Ezra's like, man, I knew what I told him, so now I can't ask him for help. I'm going to fast. And then it goes on in verse 23. So we fasted and implored our God for this, and He listened to our entreaty. Acts 13, verses 1 through 3. And now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping, it was a corporate fast. They were doing it together. It wasn't like, I'm going to fast by myself and I'm not going to tell anybody. It created unity. It created a strength and a oneness between them because they were all looking at one another saying, we're all going to God. We're all depending on Him. We're going to trust Him to get us through this. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit says, So set apart me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. They laid a spiritual foundation where we're saying, Lord, we are depending on You. Fasting is not about getting God to be so impressed with our spirituality that He will answer our prayers. Fasting is a spiritual discipline that God has provided for His people to bring us into a place of deep intimacy with Him. That's what God's asking. Listen to this quote. The purpose of fasting is not to get something from Him. It's to make us more like Him. And when we have a hunger to be like him, it's an outflow that God blesses his kids. We just need to make sure our motivation is in the right place. Fasting is one of the ultimate forms of physical, of spiritual and physical self-discipline. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, this is Paul speaking, I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Paul understood that self-discipline was really, really important. Another definition for fasting might be this: fasting is starving the flesh in order to feed the spirit. I'm going to skip down. Hopefully this doesn't cause Brittany a problem. By the way, any mistake that you see in the bulletin, look to me. It's my fault, okay? She does an amazing job. She does an awesome job in the office, and I think I make her nervous when I tell her something, and then I do something completely different than what's in the bulletin. So anytime that happens, look to me, okay? Don't look to her. So, Brittany, if you can skip all through this, I want to go down and talk about when to fast very quickly. In Acts 14, 21 through 23, fasting is preparation for decision-making. It is a place to get us so in alignment with the heart of God that he goes, oh, okay, these people really, truly care what I think. Paul and Barnabas told the good news in Derbe. And many became followers. Paul and Barnabas returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, making the followers of Jesus stronger and helping them to stay in the faith. They said, we must suffer many things to enter God's kingdom. They chose elders for each church by praying and giving up eating for a certain time. These elders had trusted the Lord, so Paul and Barnabas put them in the Lord's care. So again, that's just a different translation of what we talked about earlier. But Paul is saying here, he's indicating and exemplifying here that when you really truly submit to Christ, that's when his will gets done. How often have you prayed for God's will and put yourself out there, okay, my hands up. How often have you prayed for God's will? You said, Lord, I really want your will in this given matter here, and you really didn't want his will, you wanted yours. Yeah, my hands up, man, I've done that so many times. But it sounded really spiritual when I was praying it. God wasn't impressed. I kind of faked out a few people maybe around me. I'm saying, God, I really want your will. And that still small voice you hear, really? Really? You want my will? Because this might not be as fun as your will. God, I believe, has got his hand on this church. I do. I believe that God has set this church apart. I believe it. Now, does he say, I love you more than I love the people up the road? No, that's not what I'm saying. But I believe there is a remnant of people in this church that are at the place where they're saying, God, whatever you want from me, I want my answer to be yes and thank you. Man, I want that. I want to be a part of a body of believers like that. I really, 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 truly do. Let's stand this morning.